and friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all over you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Great. Well, good morning, you guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah. So we are recording. We do this in advance. but we're going to air this at the end of August.
Yeah.
In anticipation of,
kids going to college.
Kids going to college. That's what's going on in our lives right now. Like they're taking off. And
all officially, all of our OGs are grown-ups now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be strange
for me. Yeah, this is going to be Courtney's first.
Yeah.
Year of.
Well, look at you guys. You've done just fine. So
I don't know. I have a mini fill-in, you know, so.
You do. That's true. My kids came home a lot, even though it was like quite a distance. Pretty much at least monthly for my one child that had to drive, I think, 8 or 9 hours to get home.
I loved it, though. Oh, my gosh, so sweet.
My other child's within 2 hours, so he would come home at least every other week, probably on average.
So I didn't ask you, did he bring his laundry home every time he came
every
home?
Every time. But I was like, where's the bedding?
I know. Do your bedding. That's so funny. I purposely was asking Wiley, what kind of bedding do you need that will be easy for you to wash? And do you want two sheets or do you want one? Because you can always like take one off and wash it while and put another one on. I think there is a little thing about having to take something off and then maybe
just
not like... Well, they might as well not do it if they have to like take it off and
get it done before.
Well, yes. Actually, like the timing, you know, having to take it off, wash it and put it back on. Mm-hmm. Like if you can take it off, wait a while till you get to it and put another clean one on. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't
to keep
know.
Your routine, he's just, your Friday.
He says,
Friday
only,
the bed.
I only need one, Mom. I'm like,
I think I'm going to give you second two. Set this year because I was like, I don't think you're washing them enough.
Oh, I know.
I don't know. It's silly.
And towels, like towels too.
Oh
like,
my God.
Please, you know.
I'll never forget when I was in college and like we went to hang out like over the weekend with a group of guy friends, like out of town and like showering and thinking I could use their towels and then like coming out stinkier than what I went in.
Oh, yes.
So true.
This happened like...
Oh, so nasty.
Ben was living in a house with his friend and his friend's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I would go over to their house and stay and use Ben's towel. And it got to the point where I thought, it is. I stunk afterwards because the towel was so stinky. Would tell... Molly, I said, Molly, I'm so sorry. I have to, can I use your towel? Because Ben's stinks so bad. There's something in that brain of a man, maybe, or maybe some females. It's like, but I'm clean when I get out and wipe my, dry myself.
I think half of it's that you left it in the washing machine for 3 days. Before putting it in the dryer, I think there's that. And I think there's also just sometimes if they're like maybe stinky BO before they get in the shower, like if they want to do a quickie, I don't know what's going on. But
well, I think anything is going to smell bad after like months of not washing.
Well, and can I also point out, I don't know about you guys, but I don't use a washcloth when I take a shower, and I know
you
I probably
your hands?
Should, yeah, and I probably should for exfoliation purposes, but so I think that
what
when
about,
I
like
get
one
off
of those loofah things,
no, nothing. So nothing. I just use my hands, which I know is kind of crazy, but so I think a lot of guys are like that too, and so my exfoliation happens on my shower towel when I'm drying off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so
have you tested? Does it stink?
I'm a freaker about washing towels. Yeah, like the bed gets. I change out the towel. I am so ridiculous about washing shower towels. But you know, the bedding gets changed once a week, and the shower towels probably like
once or twice. I don't know.
Well, no, like I probably only use a towel once or twice before I wash it.
Yeah.
But I really think that for that case, like it could be just the dead skin cells that are starting to break down.
3 months they've kicked in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the thought process I can even think of like a college kid. They're like, I'll just take my laundry basket, forgetting the towels.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Or forgetting the bedding. And then, that's right. I'll do it next time. And then they just keep putting it off. When Owen and his three other roommates were, you know, in the dorms, they shared one bathroom between four boys.
Oh my gosh.
And I never went up into their dorm room, you know, after the dropped him off. And I don't think I ever wanted to, because I thought, I don't want to see what you guys are letting happen in that bathroom.
As moms, we all
went in and bought like this huge pack of Clorox. We thought, also, once again, how can we make it so easy for them to clean?
Yeah. At the end of the year, were those packages unopened?
Oh, I think Owen brought, Owen brought home all but one canister.
See, and my college experience.
Oh, they used one maybe, and it was open, so they might have thrown it away at the end of the year. So,
and they used it to clean their car.
Oh, you got it.
And I have to say, even Owen and those three other boys are pretty clean.
They kids, are,
but they are
boys not. Don't see dirt. Corbin sent me an article, and it was like some psychology thing about like why boys don't see dirt and girls do. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with just our nurturing nature. Huh. Anyway, it's a fact. We are different.
Speaking of different, yes. I didn't even have a segue. I just was like, oh yeah, we're talking about different. A book today. Yeah, different.
Let's do different.
Nice. So today we were reviewing Becoming Miss Lewis, which this was kind of my pick, and it just kind of felt like a transitioning thing for me. And when I was going through it, it struck a chord with me. And so it might not universally, it was just a time and place for my life. So I'm going to read the synopsis for us all.
Okay.
So Becoming Miss Lewis by Patty Callahan tells the story of Joy Davidman's unlikely love affair with C.S. Lewis, focusing on their intellectual and romantic connection. The novel explores Joy's journey from a struggling marriage and writer to a passionate relationship with Lewis, ultimately leading to their marriage. It highlights her intellectual depth, her conversion to Christianity, and her influence on Lewis's life and writings.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, this kind of just struck a little bit of a chord, because it's really the main character in this is Joy, and she's not a perfect human being, but I really love how it talks about her questioning faith. It talks about her reflecting on, you know, her bad marriage, kind of what she wants in her life a little bit more. I think she also is just a kind of a cool person in that she owns her own actions. And she's like, she's open to things. Yeah. And I liked her flirting with Emil in her case. Her discussions about religion a little bit, and how that worked for her, because for me, I was questioning a lot of those things too, because my partner is very religious. And so when I was reading this, this is also when I was starting to go to church all the time with my partner. And so for me, it was just really interesting to kind of see, because she was able to accomplish something in her religious experience that still hasn't clicked for me. And so I was just like, oh, it was very interesting. Yeah. But I also love the fact that, you know, my partner, religion is a huge part of who he is as a human. Yeah. And so it was neat for me to see someone who went from atheism and made that conversion over to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of, for me, it was a neat exploration in
probably
that.
Probably helped you understand your partner better.
Yes, exactly. And then I also liked, I liked watching her get the respect of another person whom she admired. And I love seeing how the relationship she had with C.S. Lewis, he was probably one of the first men to truly respect her from an intellectual yeah. perspective. And I just think that I saw her grounding in the friendship mm-hmm. of a respectful relationship where he wasn't trying to take advantage of her. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she had ever had a relationship with a man where she wasn't taken advantage of or where she wasn't expected to perform. And so,
I go into that a little bit because yeah. I kind of love the backstory because it laid a foundation.
Yes.
Like it starts yeah. out, she's an immigrant. Yes. She's an immigrant family. Like yes. she's, I think, was born in the United States, but her parents were Ukrainian and
yes.
Jewish.
Yeah.
And so they immigrate to the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important when you're coming to this new country, you know, to assimilate and to achieve. And
absolutely.
So I think one of the most important, like, foundational things was her relationship with her father.
Absolutely.
And his demands of, like, perfection.
Oh,
And so they were true. Very staunch, I think, atheists. Or did she choose that?
No, I think she was Jewish.
That. She chose that.
She was
Jewish. But there are atheist Jews.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. I'm so ignorant of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just a curious person. There are Jewish.
Well, maybe that was it made it easier for her to start thinking in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah. I think she completely went away from Judaism.
Yes, too. She went yeah. away from that. I maybe
as extreme
herself.
As you could kind of go.
Yeah.
I think she was very damaged as a child.
She was damaged. She, for getting a B, was slapped.
So
you know?
Let me ask you this. I got the feeling that Joy's parents were more than middle class. I got the feeling that they were wealthy, maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, upper.
Well, she had multiple degrees,
yes.
and at a very young age.
Yeah,
and like, she was
20 years old with two masters.
Well, she yeah. started college at 16 because she yes. was sleeping with her professor.
Yes,
and
she had several affairs with married men mm-hmm. at an incredibly young age.
Yeah. Yes. And she was always, I think she was trying to
look for love.
Yeah. And yeah. she had father figure issues.
Yeah. Definitely.
And so she wanted to get the approval of yeah. these people. And her mom didn't really help her out very much either.
Yeah.
Like, should I make the little like
toot toot?
There
you see so much shark.
Yeah. So her mom didn't help either, you know, with her mom saying, oh, you know, dad is saying, well, you need to be, you know, you got to be, so, you know, you're not intellectually good enough. And then the mom is all like, oh, your cousin's prettier and you're not, you know, because she wasn't a raging beauty. She was a normal looking woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then she, and on top of these things too, there's this underlying thing where she's always a sickly child.
Yeah.
And so she just had all of these things where you're not enough, and then you're a burden. And then she was also parentified.
And I wonder how much of that you're a burden, I'm very sick, came from just such pressure yeah. to be more than you are.
Yeah. And then
she just never felt like she was enough.
But how incredible yeah. is she? Like,
has two masters by the time
yes,
they're
like
18,
20.
Well, I feel that she starts not relying. I mean, she doesn't gain the attention of men with beauty, but with her brains.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
absolutely.
That is how she starts connecting with men. Mm-hmm. And she uses that. I think we see that she uses that with her professors, with her first husband.
Yeah.
And then eventually with C.S. Lewis.
And I had forgotten until Valerie pointed out, I didn't realize that Bill, her first actual husband, he was married when they met.
Yeah. Yes.
And so she was the reason they got divorced. Yeah. They were both writers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really exciting to them. I can imagine like how nice it would be to have another writer to always bounce ideas and whatever and how like,
oh, I intoxicating that could be.
And when they got together, she and Bill, they were, he was kind of at the top of his game.
Yeah.
He had, he just written a book that was published? Or does he do that when they're married? I can't.
No, that was right around the same time period. Yeah. And, and it was, it was made into a movie back then. And then they actually did a remaking of that book, like in 2020 or something.
Recently. What was the, do you know the name of the book?
You know what?
I mean, I wouldn't know that off the top of my head, but that's pretty cool.
It was a popular, it was kind of a popular book. And later when she was in Europe and stuff, people were like, oh, you're married to him. That's so exciting.
Yeah. So she got a lot of notoriety
from that viewpoint. And that probably had to feel incredible to her. Where this man, you know, finally was like, oh, you know what? I'm even leaving my wife for you. So,
But then it didn't. Like, eventually, Bill couldn't maintain that success and he turned to drinking.
Yes.
Exactly. Or did drinking ruin his, you know, his ability to write?
Yeah, I think he's always been, I think Bill sounds like he has an addict's personality. And so it wouldn't, that was just part of his life dynamic.
Yeah. So that then led them to AA, which, you know, a big part of AA is letting go and letting God.
Yeah.
And so,
that's so true.
Joy, I think at that point, that's when she discovered God and really like clung to that.
Well, and I think it was in the healing process too, because for her, it was that one night where basically she's like, he went out and she knew that he was drinking and having a bender. Yeah.
And was having affairs.
Yeah. And, you know, I think she just hit her max and she let go and let God in her moment. And so she went from being an atheist to, when she talks to C.S. Lewis, just she was just like, it just happened for me. I just went from not knowing to knowing.
So a mutual friend of Joy and C.S. Lewis, he's like, wow, the two of you have really a common thread.
Yes.
And she was going through a rough time. And he's like, I really think that you should, you know, maybe write to C.S. Lewis.
Exactly.
And correspond that way because he can really give you some great insight.
Well, yeah, and C.S. Lewis had written a book called The Great Divorce.
Yes.
Which is about relationship with religion and God, which she really connected with as well.
Yes. And I think also one of the things that happened at this time period too is when Joy had her, you know, God moment.
Yeah.
Her husband did kind of jump on board with that more. And so when she first started writing to C.S. Lewis, it was a them thing. They wrote to C.S. Lewis together. And so it was sort of a resurgence into, okay, we're committed to the religion. We're recommitted to the relationship. Mm-hmm. And then they had some success. She had some success and they were able to buy that house up in New York. So when she first started corresponding with C.S. Lewis, it was kind of at like a high point in their marriage. I mean, granted, they'd had a low point, but I don't think that Joy had ever not had a lot of dynamic activity happening in her life. I think she was very much used to highs and lows and craziness in relationships. And so she was actually in a good place. So she wasn't, they weren't writing to C.S. Lewis to, you know, to be like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'm prepping for a future lover.
No.
You know, there was nothing like that. It genuinely was
genuinely friendship.
Oh my gosh, you came to this conclusion and you also were an atheist who found God. And so
when do you think at any point did their letter writing take a turn to that for either of them?
I kind of wonder if,
I'm curious,
you know,
what your perspective
for her,
is.
Bill maybe started drinking again.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then her letters that she was receiving from C.S. Lewis, she didn't want to share them with Bill anymore.
No, she didn't. No.
She would kind of hide mm-hmm. it and then read them on her own later. It was her,
yes.
escape. It was
yes.
her high point because yeah. Bill was bringing them back down again. And so it was a light in her life.
Absolutely. And when you are being kind of rejected, when you've
yes.
come so close,
yes.
and in a sense, he's now rejecting you like
by going back, and that's going to hurt so bad.
Then you kind of start to reach out to
you do.
What's comfortable, familiar.
And she has unhealthy...
And that would be C.S. Lewis. Yeah,
and she has unhealthy attachment styles.
Yeah.
And she... So for her, this, you know, she, I think, does start looking at the C.S. Lewis relationship maybe mildly inappropriately at
yeah.
this point. This
and
is, you know,
Bill
I,
even senses it.
And Bill
and
senses
becomes
it.
Jealous.
Yes. And he becomes
of their correspondence.
And he kind of should a little bit because
mm-hmm.
I think Bill's being very perceptive in that Joy isn't owning this or self-aware of this. I don't think she ever becomes self-aware.
But at the same time, he's still like drinking and going
and having
out and
affairs.
Having sex.
Oh yeah.
Random women at the bars.
Absolutely.
So
so I think part of this, you know, and you and I have kind of talked a little bit about this too, that this weirdness is Joy does have some inappropriateness in how she normally likes to engage in escapism in
yeah.
a sense. And so I think one of the things I liked also about this is Joy's trying to pervert this relationship with C.S. Lewis and he
mm-hmm.
doesn't let her.
Yeah.
And
I'm so glad you kind of pointed it out to me because I wasn't engaged with her backstory and her history of, you know, maybe attachment or daddy issues, whatever you want to call
mm-hmm.
that. And it paints it in a different perspective for sure versus, we'll get into that later, but
oh yeah,
I love that you pointed that out. And I'm really excited because attachment is something that's kind of a hot topic right now. Like how that impacts
completely.
Us, like from our 1 to 3 year age, like that has a huge impact on how you interact with people the rest of your life.
Oh, completely. And so one of the things that I think one of the reasons I really like this is because
mm-hmm.
while she was forming this friendship and then, you know, for her, it converted into romanticiness and it converted for her way
yeah.
before it converted for him.
Because
he was, I was just so impressed with him being able to hold boundaries of a friendship because that's, And that held to his beliefs and who he was. And so
mm-hmm.
he's like, these are my beliefs. This is
right.
who I'm holding to.
So what happens before, so they correspond. And meanwhile, Joy
yes.
is getting ill. She's going to doctor after doctor after
terrible.
Doctor. And they're just saying, you're carrying too much. Because, you know, she's basically doing everything to keep this family fed.
Yes, yes.
And
then she's also being... So she's actually, at this point in the relationship, she's actually kind of the breadwinner.
She absolutely is.
And so, her husband hasn't made money, really hasn't made money
time.
For a long,
yeah.
long time.
He goes in his office, shuts the door, drinks, and tries to write.
Yes.
And then is
yes.
frustrated because
he can't get it. And then he
blames her
mm-hmm.
for his inability to perform because she's not doing her wifely duties. And I need a woman to be a woman and you're not being
yeah.
woman. And so this is just so damaging to her because it
oh.
feeds into all of her
hurt.
All of her childhood and
yeah.
all of her hurt. I mean, you could not have planned
and
a better attack on her psyche.
And then to add insult to injury at the same time, her beautiful cousin is going through an also
abusive
alcoholic relationship
yep.
and she finds the strength to get out, but she has nowhere to go except
yeah.
for to Joy's home.
Yeah.
So they bring this beautiful cousin. And I think that's like, oh, at a time, but she's still so loving and accepting, and she's excited to have her cousin.
And in the book, it's written like she's clueless about there could be any, oh, that might not be a very good idea.
Well, it just does two things. It's a blessing because it allows
her some
joy to, and Renee encourages Joy to leave and go to England.
And Renee was wonderful.
Because Joy, like, I thought Joy was interesting. Like, the way that the author presented her, she was very intellectual. Mm-hmm. She almost used writing, maybe as a crux, but as an escapism. Mm-hmm. And so she was struggling to, like, pay attention to her children in some aspects. And so having Renee there, like, she was interested in, like, homemaking and cooking and cleaning and doing all that. And Bill was like, oh, this is what a real woman should be like, which is like, Bill.
Yeah.
They were trying to have, like, a modern marriage in the 1950s.
Well, absolutely.
Joy is supported by her doctor, which says, if you are going to die, literally, you are going to die if you do not take time out and rest.
Yes.
Yes.
And Bill was like mad that he had to let her do that.
Yeah. And he would not have let her. He would rather her die.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So when Renee steps in, Renee says,
please leave.
I will take your place and make sure the kids are fed, they get to school, the house is, maintained. You need to go get healthy.
But Renee also isn't responsible for providing an income for the home. Mm-mm. You know, so there's
that's her way of doing it.
Yeah,
and so because she's so grateful.
Yes, and so you know, Renee is providing a service that we all know. I mean, we all know, like, there is always a full time job of homemaking and life caring and planning in life. There is a full-time job of that.
And so for Joy, it was on top of her full-time job.
Exactly. And so she was the first, modern woman. Back in the 1950s when you didn't have any support groups for
it. In the 1950s, the doctors then recognized, like, this is too much and it's detrimental to your health. And now it's the standard.
Yes.
And that's something.
That is something. I mean, it was kind of a double-edged sword for her in a sense, because the doctors were like, you're taking on too much, girl. You can't do this. I mean, for a doctor back then to understand that, and now for people to be like, well, we don't understand why your body's breaking down.
Yeah. We've regressed.
You guys are awesome. That I miss. So it's so funny. This is one of the reasons I love us all discussing these books, because I totally miss that whole part.
These are thoughts I was having reading it.
That's so wonderful.
But it's something that just comes out in conversation as we're, like, really rehashing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So then we have this thing where Bill is basically drinking again. He's not too into the religion anymore. And he's having affairs. And he's not even able to, you know, provide for the family. So then she's taking it all on, and then he's blaming her for everything. And so we have it where she needs to take care of herself, or she's going to literally die.
So she
has a friend in England, right?
Mm-hmm.
A female writer friend? She a writer?
So this is a weird thing. You learn a little backstory in some senses that a lot of these great male writers had wonderful editor and helper and plot, you know, had wonderful partners at home who kind of, you know, Einstein wife type people. So it's sort of neat. They have assistants who are wives. So I believe she's one of those, you know, like an incredible editor.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the widows will start writing. Sounded like.
Gosh, it makes me think of a book that I read 15 years ago, quite a long time ago, called The Wife. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the plot, is like this man gets all this notoriety for his writing, but all along it was his wife.
Oh, well, it's just reminding of Jane Austen.
You know, F. Scott Fitzgerald and mm-hmm. Zelda.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, he took credit for a lot of Zelda's stories.
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely. And,
well, and, so this and has then, happened throughout history.
And then, yes. And I think one of the reasons that we know Jane Austen is because she didn't get married. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't get married, but yet still, even in her time, like, her brother was considered the writer in the family, yeah. You know, but her and her sisters, you know, her and her sister were the better writers.
And
you know?
I mean, just look at how prolific they're writing. I mean,
still
every
today.
Single movie, I feel like how many books and movies have we reviewed like relates back to this?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Jane Austen.
I just did Clueless.
Yes, exactly.
And we were like, oh, that's.
Yeah.
And I loved when Lisa pointed out, she's like, oh my gosh, almost every romance novel is either based on Jane Austen or Shakespeare. You know,
so Jane Austen, Shakespeare, or You've Got Mail. Don't leave that out.
On the corner. It's true. So,
but that was also based on Shakespeare. Sorry.
Yeah.
What You Do About Nothing.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
But so we have her finally going to Europe, and then this is going to sound so shocking, healthcare in Europe was so much better than healthcare in the U.S.
It was universal back. Was it universal back then?
And or she less, was really it was less money, a she, lot yeah. less money.
Everything that she needed to have done, dental work, a full body workup, was covered.
Yeah. Covered. Well, and it sounded like there was a little bit, but it was so much easier. And that was coming in as a foreigner, and she just, which is just crazy to me that even, you know, so she went over there and got attention.
What's this quote that you can tell the health of a country by how they treat their poorest and weakest people?
That's kind of true.
You know what I mean? I said that quote totally wrong, but that's the gist
of it. Well, and in some senses it's sort of like, and then we're like, but yet we're the ones saying, give us your weak, your poor, so we can exploit them and then blame them. And
there's kind of things.
Yeah.
Make me sad, for
sure.
Well,
it's nice because she does get healthy. And
healthier
she's finally
for her.
Taken care of.
Yes. Yeah. And she can spend time reflecting and she gets a opportunity to actually meet C.S. Lewis.
Yes.
While she's there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And meanwhile, she is, you know, writing back. She wants to check in on the kids, correspondences through letter writing, because, you know, in the 1950s, even a phone call, I'm going to sound so dumb about this era, but could you do that across the ocean?
Yeah.
It was.
I don't know.
It would probably be expensive. So they never spoke. But they corresponded through letters.
Telegrams were still happening then.
That's kind of true. I think you're right. I'm trying to think of. So
what
when you go to Churchill's, I mean, Churchill, but that during the war, they could do. That was in the 40s. And so.
I am dying to know at what point.
These things we take
starting
for granted,
in 1927. At that point they could have made phone calls.
Yeah, because Churchill had, you know, you could make calls and stuff like that. So,
okay.
But so she's over there, but that's of course out of their price range.
Yeah.
You know, that's not happening. They're counting pennies.
This probably was just easier to write.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that was also the culture too. It wasn't,
Over time though, I want to point out she stops getting letters from Bill.
She does.
Which makes her really anxious.
As it should. Yeah. But she never even thinks, oh, maybe something between Bill and Renee.
I
think she's comfortable living in a sense of he's having an affair. I mean, she even talks to C.S. Lewis about it.
I think she thinks more, she doesn't put it past Bill to have an affair, but she but trust Renee and yeah. trust that like yeah. Renee would never overstep those boundaries.
Yeah, but I will say there's something about that nanny coming in and nurturing your children that's kind of hot.
Yeah. Oh, you yeah. Well, I mean? And to Renee.
And making your life easier.
Mm-hmm. Bill, Renee was leaving a beat your wife alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill is just an alcoholic. So it for that's like her next step in a healing progression.
There you go. What a way to look at that.
Is you know, okay, he's the alcoholic I'm comfortable with, but he's an improvement.
Familiar, but it's not hurting.
Yeah, but he doesn't beat me. So that's an improvement.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got the impression that Bill can be very charismatic.
Oh, absolutely.
And talk his way through anything.
Yes.
And when they go, when they ever get together with friends, Bill is always like the life of the party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The conversation and people yes. really like him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you can see maybe he is, you know, Renee is drawn into him
absolutely.
By his sweet talk and,
well,
you know.
And they match too because Bill gets to, you know, be personified as a man because he has Joy who's mm-hmm. outshining him on his manly duties.
Right.
And then.
So there's some shame happening in their relationship.
And then he has, you know, and Joy's not the beauty and she's not the homemaker. Mm-hmm. I mean, but she loves her boys. Like she takes them out and she teaches them about everything and she engages with her little pookles. You yeah. know, like she loves her pookles, and I love that.
No, that word bugged me. I was oh, God.
I do, like, I have nicknames for my kids, yeah. and they get referred to that all the time. But there's something about pookles that, like, it just, I was like, oh.
Yeah. I know, I didn't like it either.
If it was a different nickname, I would have been like, oh, so sweet. But,
you're like pookles.
It's too close to bodily functions.
Maybe if it was
pooples, my little poopies.
Maybe yes. if it was her calling know, her kids pookles, but
yeah.
she and Bill called each other their poogle. And I
oh,
was like,
yeah,
that's what was bothered
okay,
me.
Okay, that gives me.
You know,
I didn't
your kids like if she just was talking to her kids and about her kids and calling her little poogles, but then she and Bill would be like, "Oh, poogle." I
which is a dog
so
breed,
much.
By the way.
Which kind of is a good their relationship. They treat each other like dogs. So I mean, I don't
it's
know.
It's a cross between a pug and a beagle, if you want to know. But
oh.
but didn't originate till the 1990s. Sorry.
But she loved her boys.
Yeah,
and she was desperately missing them while she was
yeah
in
yes.
Europe.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that...
And Jess, I think she wanted to hear more about mm-hmm. them and how they were doing.
Yes.
And so when she wasn't getting those letters, it started making her anxious.
Yes. Well, and then also, like, because one of her boys wanted to write C.S. Lewis, and then you could tell that there was even a little jealousy when one of her kids was writing C.S. Lewis, and she's not getting a letter from her kid. C.S. Lewis is getting a letter from her kid, and there was a little bit of... Okay,
yeah.
And then
yeah.
that's so sweet. And then she was just, and then
but
she
then
was trying
to think, what is going on at home?
Oh,
like
yeah.
Something's so off. So she gets back to America.
Well, I think, I no, well, actually,
talk about her
when
meeting,
she's.
We need to talk about
her
meeting
C.S.
Lewis
yes.
the first
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
But she's also been corresponding with C.S. Lewis's brother, Warnie.
Mm-hmm.
And so she meets with both of them.
Yes.
And.
Oh, before,
oh,
I'm so sorry.
No.
I think it's important for us to know that as things with her husband are obviously in the stinker tank, she starts kind of, you can start feeling that she is starting to
lay the groundwork.
Her viewpoint of her relationship, she's starting to develop more than friendship feelings for C.S. Lewis. Like she's looking for, and she's looking for something outside of her marriage, a connection because she's lost that. And so she's kind of putting out vibes and her friend even compliments on it.
Has she ever been outside of a relationship or she had she always been attached?
No, she hadn't always been attached, because she'd always tried to get people to attach to her who necessarily weren't attaching back.
Mm.
And so she is, you can tell that she's starting to develop maybe a little bit more than friend feelings for C.S. Lewis at this point.
Yeah. And but I think it was also motivated somewhat by the fact that her other life is falling apart.
Exactly. And so this is, so she's a little broken in how she deals with things, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. But and I mean, I also,
and I get it.
I also felt when she meets with Warnie and C.S. Lewis, there's an mm-hmm. instant, just such a friendship,
like
a deep connection. And instantly you as a reader are like, this is comfortable. This is what it should be.
And it was held
in very respectful. That feels so good, because she'd never experienced
No, she's never. I think this was the first time in her life that she actually had genuine respect from a male figure.
And
especially one that she respected. So a male who she respected her back and was asking nothing of her.
And I think that respect and love could be interchangeable words.
I kind of agree with you. I mean, this is the first, I think this is one of the first healthy male relationships she's mm-hmm. ever had. And so she'd
never really experienced love before.
No.
In her life.
No.
It's what a, yeah.
And so I think that, you know, for her, she wants it to be, she wants it to be a little bit more. Hey, so we have the itsy bitsy spider visiting us
right now. My feet are going up.
I don't think it's like a bad one.
Oh,
so
my God, Courtney. And I'm like, put the cup.
Okay,
you're
done.
You need a cup. Yeah, it needs a cup.
I don't want to kill it because I think it's
he's a cutie.
Oh my.
I
don't
think
there's any.
And if you have an issue with spiders, I'm cool with spiders.
I mean, I think I got it.
My fear animals are crocodiles and water moccasins.
I mean,
oh my God,
I'm afraid of something that's like 1 millionth the size I am. Like, terrifying.
Oh my God, where did it go?
Did
I hit it?
Yeah, it was in your cup.
It was in your cup. Your cup was more than half full of spider. No.
I don't know where it went.
That's okay. We'll out of sight, out of mind. Ook. Well, that was our adventures this morning.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. That was a big,
It was
spider.
Big.
It was a really big spider.
But it wasn't that.
I grew up to kill those spiders, the kind with the boxing glove eyes.
Well, I kill those guys.
Yeah.
But this wasn't one of those.
They bite you and your skin dies. Like, person kicks
it. Okay, sorry, where were we?
No,
we were talking about love and respect.
Yes, and this was her first. This was Joy's first male respect, love relationship. And she has this friendship with both C.S. Lewis and his brother.
Yes.
I mean, and they are obviously just kindred spirits, and they really, really genuinely do respect each other mm-hmm. and like each other. And she is treated like an intellectual equal.
Yeah.
And without strings, which she's never experienced. This is her first healthy love.
And I like this because you love this relationship. Mm-hmm. It feels comfortable. You want her to stay in this relationship because they're writing each other. Mm-hmm. They're talking about intellectual things. They're having these great conversations that, you know, it just feels warm and comfortable.
And vulnerability is accepted within this relationship.
Yeah, and you
no judging.
Don't want her to leave, but she has to.
Yeah.
But she has to. So,
and so for me, I really love this because this was my experience with my husband. Was because this was my first healthy relationship of peers. So for me, I was just like, oh, and she's still fucked up. you know, this girl is still fucked up from her bad, you know, kind of a things. Yes. And then you learn that C.S. Lewis also has some of his own fucked up issues and stuff too. And so for me, I really loved it because
they're both so human.
They are presented that way. Yeah. And so I just really love this because for me, it was like, oh, they managed a respectful, healthy relationship because they came into it as friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, whoa, because with my husband, that was where we started with, you know, now I think my husband and I, we had chemistry issues. And these two.
Wait, are you saying you and your husband had chemistry issues?
No. I'm saying.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I know. My husband and I had definitely chemistry. But we were grounded in, and I think that this might also be interesting too, because my husband and I, we were text buddies. And so we were writing. And we wrote and we were vulnerable in ways and we had developed a crazy strong friendship.
Yes, you did.
In writing.
Absolutely.
And just like C.S. Lewis and Joy created a very strong relationship based on writing and friendship. And so the only difference between C.S. Lewis and Joy, my husband and I had crazy chemistry. And Joy and C.S. Lewis, their chemistry had to grow into it later.
Yeah.
But,
so Joy has to go back to America and she goes
before she goes back to America, so she kind of starts being inappropriate with wanting the friendship to... She puts out feelers for, hey, listen, I know we're friends, but do you want to be more than friends a little bit with C.S. Lewis before she even finds out that her husband's banging Renee?
Yeah, and I didn't.
While she's
I missed that.
I missed that too. I thought that happened.
No. She has a conversation with him in the bar where he has to say, hey, Joy, we're friends. We're not more than that. And you know, because he picks up on the, he's like, he nips it in the butt when she first puts out her first kind of feeler of la, 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 la. I really respect C.S. Lewis because he nipped it in the butt immediately. He said,
and I totally missed that part.
I did too.
And the fact that I missed that part kind of bums me out because it taints my view and perspective moving forward.
And I thought it was really.
And now knowing that.
I had so much respect for C.S. Lewis.
Hold on. I think I got it wrong.
So because of that, like, and so that's why I was just like, when we were off camera talking about that, I was like, oh my God, that's so funny that you took it that way. And for me, it gave me so much more respect for him because he was just like, hey, Joy, no, this is our relationship. We're going to hold true to our values with God. We're a friendship. We're not even going to let any of that other, we have pathos. And because they even were talking about the kinds of loves. And he's like, no, we're strictly pathos. That's not on the table for us because you're married. And that, no, that's not, we haven't let that be in our relationship. We're not allowing that to be in our relationship. That's not what our relationship is based on. And he nipped it in the butt with her immediately and basically called her out on it. That's not happening.
Yeah.
Don't even go there. And then he tried to lighten it by saying, you know, and I like blondes anyway, so we couldn't do that, you know, which would have been a horrible kick in the gut. Had
for her, it absolutely was devastating.
Yeah. He needed to, you know, and she even said never, ever, ever was there any inappropriateness that would not have been allowed and stuff. And so I like C.S. Lewis even more because he held his friend to a high standard.
Yeah.
And I thought, it reminded me of the loving relationship that we all have with each other is because we love each other, but we actually don't let each other get away with the little shit. Like we too, as friends, love each other. And I think a true friendship does hold you to a high standard.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You need to stick to the morals that we're saying that we're sticking to. And you need to, this is our code of conduct. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was a beautiful friendship moment because it was based in, I know what you want for yourself. I know how you want to live your life. And I'm going to hold you to the standards that we want. And that's not even on the table, because that's not on the table for us. And so then she finds out right after that, that her husband's having the affair, and then she needs to go back and clean house.
Yeah. He writes her a letter basically saying, you've always been a terrible housewife. What do you expect?
When does she find out? I thought she found out when she went home, but she found out before.
I thought he wrote her a letter.
He wrote her a letter.
Finally, after a long period of silence.
Yeah.
Basically saying, I want to divorce you because you're a terrible wife.
Yes.
And terrible mother. Put it all on her.
And you've ruined my career because I can't be the man and the writer I need to be because you're not the wife you're supposed to be.
And thank God that C.S. Lewis was there to fact check that.
Absolutely.
Because what kind of a tailspin would she have otherwise gone into?
Yeah.
She didn't have somebody that was such a dear friend to help her through that.
To be like, this is a him issue, not a you issue.
But she has to go back anyway because of her
she
kids.
Does.
She goes back and into this situation that is
fucked
so
up.
Horrible. Mm-hmm. She has to live in the house with Renee and Bill having a relationship.
Yeah.
And
being the other woman in your own freaking house
with while your husband's sleeping with your beautiful cousin
and trying to keep that from your children all at the same time.
Oh,
so
it's just hard. An awful situation.
And trying not to be so angry, you know, and putting on a good face for your kids every day when they come home.
And then starting to have health issues again. Go figure when you're into all of this.
So she
insanity.
Is, and she is working hard to make enough money to get out, but she has to earn money to get out of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get a divorce, to like be able to go. And she is resolved to go back to Europe with her boys.
Yep.
That is what she's going to do.
Yep.
But she has to make enough money, and it's a long process.
Yeah. And that was a big struggle for her was, you know, income.
Absolutely.
But she does make this all happen eventually.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's a romance.
Yeah. And then she does get back. She gets her boys in.
Yeah. And the title gives the ending away.
Obviously.
So we do know, like, she's going to return to Europe. But how do they go about, you know, going from pathos to lovers?
Is it ethos? Is the romantic? I don't know.
I think ethos, maybe. They use the term in the book, and
I know.
I forgot pathos until you did that.
And I could probably be saying them wrong. Maybe pathos is that, but I think pathos is the friendship one.
They have a long way to go. You know, she does go back to Europe, starts making a life for herself there with her boys,
and without C.S. Lewis. I mean, he's not a romantic partner even during the breakup.
And she
has to make herself a person before
finds her way. She gets a place to live. Mm-hmm. And luckily, things kind of fall into place for her there.
Yeah.
You know, just as she's like, you know, feeling desperate, you know, where is she going to live? You know, something happens. And so things start falling into place for her when she's there. And the boys become... they start having English accents.
It is so cute.
And so things start falling into place. But, you know, it is the beginning almost of the romance between she and C.S. Lewis.
Yes.
And so how it unfolds is really wonderful.
It's sweet.
It is wonderful. But when I was reading it, because I missed that she was, you know, already laying the foundation for a relationship before she even knew that her actual relationship was in the toilet.
Yeah.
Like, I missed that part. And so it tainted.
It would totally taint
the whole second half of the book for me. And I found myself feeling so annoyed with C.S. Lewis.
Because you think he's playing her instead of...
I thought
of,
he was playing her
it would
when he
so
was
be
just
like that.
Trying to help her grow.
Yeah.
And as a her as a person.
Yeah.
And he was respecting and loving her.
Yes. And it's like, we're not going to do this in a dysfunctional way. And so I just thought it was really neat because you have and C.S. Lewis is kind of broken too. Like, you learn he's got damage, you learn he has attachment issues because of, you know, the woman that he helped and all these different things. And he has that, his own stuff.
His brother, too. Like, his brother is really, because the brother
is an alcoholic.
Did he serve in World War I?
Yes.
Yeah. So he has PTSD, and he's an alcoholic, and that's how he overcomes it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how he. I don't say. I won't
okay,
say
not
overcome.
Overcome
but
you're right. Very
that's
right.
How he tries to manage it.
Yes, he tries to manage it.
Like
yeah.
a lot of.
And so,
people.
And then, so he really appreciates that he can be vulnerable and honest with her about mm-hmm. these things, and she doesn't judge. And she still has an ability to love. Like, Joy has a very large capacity for love and acceptance.
Yeah, she's very
resilient. I mean, and I think that, you know, she's been everywhere in her life. I just think that she's so incredible about not being a judgy. And so I just think it's, I just love how they ground each other mm-hmm. And Joy in her openness helps C.S. Lewis not be so self-contained in a sense. Like
rigid,
she helps him open up, you know, and she yeah. introduces playfulness.
Yeah.
You know, and he has too. Yes.
Like, having the kids there, I think, was wonderful. For
yeah.
Me.
It okay. kind of bridges it because, you know, C.S. Lewis has always has this internal playfulness. You see it in his writing
absolutely.
And his children's stories and his Narnia and all of this stuff. But he doesn't live it in his life until Joy helps him bring that actually into his daily life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she is Joy for him. And
yes.
so it's just, it's really neat to see their friendship be healthy and these unhealthy people, you know, who have their yeah. attachment issues.
It's nice to see it's possible.
Help, yeah, and then it's funny too because then C.S. Lewis becomes racy too, and he doesn't make her diminish her experiences. Like this is something too because he could pull off this whole 100% prim and proper, everything's amazing, you know, like I'm just an amazing Christian and stuff like that. But he doesn't ever tell her she has to diminish who she is. He doesn't ever tell her. You can't be the experience that made you.
But he maintains his boundaries.
But he maintains
when
his boundaries.
When she's trying to push him.
Exactly. He maintains yeah. himself. But he also is like, this is me. These are my boundaries. This is, I maintain this too. I have standards for you. You have standards for me. But he doesn't tell her that she can't be the woman who was the atheist in the cult. You know, the divorced woman. He doesn't make her have to diminish her life experiences, and he doesn't shame her for her past things.
Oh, so how likely is it that you think the two of them would have gotten together?
Well, I mean, it is historical fiction,
mm-hmm.
so
right.
I appreciated knowing C.S. Lewis. You know, beyond the Chronicles of Narnia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know much about him otherwise.
No,
yeah.
I didn't either.
And Patty Callahan did an immense amount of research.
Oh, completely.
To write this mm-hmm. as accurately as possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think she did an excellent job.
So they're destined, but they come from two different countries, completely different backgrounds.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And so I think that maybe read in maybe the something that was such an interesting love story because
yeah.
and maybe she, the author wrote this, is that she was intrigued by them because they were so different.
Yes.
But that they did find each other.
And that kind of makes me feel a little bit like me and my husband too in some senses because I feel like I am kind of a blah person. He is so conservative.
Kind of how couples are.
You know, and things like that. So and the backgrounds are so dynamically
mm-hmm.
that's
so
interesting.
Not
so,
likely, so I think
but
that it's
it
very unlikely
was.
That they would have ever become romantic.
Yes.
But we are not gonna give away
how that evolved yeah
to turn it into romance
yeah
because I really want people to find that out for themselves and then mm-hmm. formulate your you know
your own, yeah.
thoughts on that because
yeah
I felt conflicted about it
yeah no and there are some reasons to have some conflict on there because then you have to go a little bit like Okay, that's a little bit. Yeah, there are some things in there that really there can be reason for a tiny bit of conflict, and then you go.
I think they could have been lifelong, forever friends. Absolutely. If it weren't for certain events to transpire.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Which, ironically, when you look back, they were planted the whole entire book, and it's like, how did this get missed? And it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean. How realistic is the book? I think it is realistic. It happened.
Yeah. But it was a series of events. You know, like my husband and I, we were like, oh my gosh, yeah. Everything that had to happen for the two of us to come to each other, we're like, that is freaking insane.
It feels like
the odds of that happening. So we always joke around, like, you know, that our grandma's up in heaven, you know, hooked us up because like, well, this was crazy. There's how those two kids plan. Came together, but this is the only way we can get
how we have to make it happen.
So, yeah. Well,
and how long will it last? I said 25 to life because
I mean, I would say their friendship was going to be a lifelong friendship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. No matter what.
Yeah.
So I would say that if they hadn't had things happen,
yeah,
they never even would have gotten to day one, like a one night stand.
I absolutely agree with that. Yeah. You know, if things hadn't happened, they never would have launched. There would have been total failure to launch on that. And I think that would have been absolutely okay because the friendship mm-hmm. was so beautiful.
Yeah.
I think that it would have crushed Joy's heart a little bit. It would have been that unrelinquished love. Because she did convert. She had both types of love. She had friendship love, and she had the desire to try to.
Unrequited love would have been a torment for her.
It would have been, and you know, but she also her life kind of led her to be someone who could have had a love tragedy in her life. You know what I mean? In some senses, that so I'm really happy that. It converted for her.
Yeah.
And how spicy. It was very green pepper.
Very
green. Did they even kiss? I mean.
On scene? No. Yeah, I don't think they did.
There was no sensual, romantic scene.
Yeah. I think the only spiciness that's alluded to is the fact that C.S. Lewis got in trouble when he was being interviewed in places for talking a little bit about, and they were like, that is so spicy.
Oh, because he found passion.
They had some intense passion.
He likes
passion.
To talk, he kind of likes to express, like, wow.
And I think a little bit of
writers are a little verbose.
Yeah.
Well, I think a little bit of him is, I think that he, you know, he was also, I didn't think I was going to have this in my life. And, oh my God, let me tell you.
Do you think for him? I don't know. Because
we da, 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 da.
He's like, I'm converted. Again. Do you
take
think
me
that was
to
his
church?
First?
I'll worship. You know, I would like to pretend it was, but I don't think, I mean, realistically.
I think
he was probably in his 60s.
I think he had, and who knows with 50s, that other woman
late
who 50s. Lived there.
Yeah.
I just don't think it meant much. It wasn't.
I don't think that
profound.
They were romantically, that other
I
one.
Have
I think
no
that
idea
was
what
an
that
obligation.
Was.
No, he was just, it was an obligatory.
Yeah, and she was terrible.
We don't know what that was like.
I think that his sexual feelings were.
You know,
I think C.S. Lewis was a little masochistic in nature in that relationship.
Oh, yeah. That's why I kept thinking, why don't you just be a priest at this point?
And he probably should have. I think he was going to live his life like that.
A life of celibacy.
Yeah.
So did you guys have a favorite line? I didn't write anything down for mine, but.
No, I really didn't have one that stuck out. I mean, there's lots of great kind of quotes and things, but there was no one line where you're just, for me, there was no one line that
stood out. And does it matter? Yes, I think that
there's a lot to learn from this.
Yeah, I liked it because it was real. I love the fact that it was a real story.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that, I don't know. My favorite part was the that we're not, you know, the friendship, the boundaries, holding boundaries with the friends and the friendship. And yeah, so.
Yeah, I think it matters.
And the acceptance. I liked, they genuinely saw each other.
Well, just, I mean, it matters to even like recognize, you know, these historical people and their part in our culture.
What I loved about it too is that she brought a woman who would have otherwise been forgotten.
Yes. As so many women do.
Yes.
And Joy, let me tell you, she was a prolific, very talented writer, and she only helped improve everyone around her.
Yeah.
And what, I mean, I'm glad that she got recognized for that.
Yeah, me too.
So thank you, Patty Callahan. Right.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And
well, thanks, Valerie, for, you know, bringing
this. Yeah, well, thanks for indulging me in.
Well, no, I'm so, like I said, it matters, and I'm so glad I read it, and it, like, means something to me now, too.
Thank you for making it even more meaningful.
So if you remember to readers that we have our website, myperfectromance.com, and on that you can, you know, send us your love stories, send us book recommendations. If you want us to interview as a couple, that's really...
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our next interview. I'm really looking forward to, because some of the things we touched on, like, this is something that they feel really passionately about. So I'm excited for that to come.
Yeah. So
stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
XOXO.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.